بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Imam Razi is known to be one of the leading people in philosophy. In English they call him Razes, like how they call Abu Sina Avicenna, so they call him Razes. He is one of the more leading personalities in philosophy, in logic, etc., that was the much sought after science in that age, talking of the 6th, 7th century. So he had completed his formal studies, and he had also excelled in philosophy until he was called an imam. An imam is the one who leads. So because he led people in philosophy, so therefore he was called an imam. Like in hadith, the one that leads the rest of humanity is Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, so you call him an imam. In fiqh, find a person like Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi leading mankind in fiqh and related issues, so you call him an imam in that respect. So imam is the one that leads, that he is setting the trend and people follow him thereafter. So in the people in that age, they reasoned better, they understood things in perspective, and they were not concerned about formalities. They were not so concerned about people's impressions and people's opinions. They looked at realities on the ground. We have acquired something, and we had gone to the experts and acquired this. Wanted philosophy and logic, so we had gone up to the experts in that respect, and we acquired that. Now we want to understand and get a sound understanding in tasawuf. So when we need to get a sound understanding in tasawuf, then we'll have to go to an expert that is specialized in this field. They didn't think at all that we are philosophers, and being philosophers, then we can access the kitabs and understand tasawuf of our own. They didn't think at the time, Avicenna didn't think at the time, that I have excelled in medicine. So because I've excelled in medicine, then I can understand the tasawuf myself. I don't need a guide. I don't need someone to instruct me. They reasoned in this manner, that like in the science of medicine, the science of philosophy, we need someone to instruct us and lead us. So in the science of tafsir, we need someone to guide us and instruct us. In the science of fiqh, we need someone to guide us and lead us. In the science of tasawuf, we need someone to guide us and instruct us. Otherwise, we cannot be sure that we have got the right reasoning. Maybe some concepts we have understood, but have we understood them correctly? Are we applying them correctly? We need someone to guide us, to correct us, and to show it to us. So in that age, this is how people looked at things. They viewed things differently. And they were very much more realistic, much more professional, much more realistic. And they were not concerned of their personal impression, how will they feature amongst people, what will people say, that where you are, and you have lowered yourself right to this position to acquire this type of a science, whereas you are a leading person. In the science of philosophy, you are leading. In the science of medicine, you are leading, right? Then this type of a science is not so well recognized, doesn't have that type of respect and honor. And then you have stooped so down, so low, to go and acquire the science. They didn't concern themselves with this type of thoughts. No, we need to acquire it, we will go and acquire it. So they reasoned totally different, and whatever it took them to acquire that, they didn't hesitate in acquiring it. And you had the likes of these people. Now, in the recent past, about 30, 40, 50 years ago, there were people wanting to learn the science of tajweed, learning the science of qiraat. Then in tajweed, generally they have the smaller children, right? Smaller children. And he said, no, though I am an expert in hadith, but if I need to go and learn tajweed, then I need to go to someone that specialized in this. So I will attend the same class. With the children being taught, I will attend the same class. And the type of treatment that is met out to them, then it can be meted out to me as well. If, for example, I don't know my lesson so well, and the teacher, the instructor feels that I must stand up, I will stand up for the duration. I'm not concerned about it. That's immaterial. The thing is that I've come for a certain science, and whatever it takes me to perfect the science, I'm prepared to do it. So they came with a different frame of mind, and therefore they excelled. So their reasoning was right. They saw things in perspective. They understood that if you are an expert in one field, it doesn't give you the license to become to interpret and to expound on another science. Because if you're going to do that, you're going to make an embarrassment of yourself. You know the rules that govern it. You don't know the guidelines, and you don't know the concepts so well. You haven't grasped the concepts. You haven't grasped the basic ground rules. You don't know how to interpret, etc. And you're interpreting. So when you're interpreting and when you don't know it, then the people that know the science, they have qualified, they have specialized in that science, they're going to laugh at you. You're going to be embarrassed. So rather, I go to someone who has specialized, who understood it very well, and I won't be embarrassed. Imam Shafi rahmatullah used to say, that person that doesn't know, and he admits that he doesn't know. When he doesn't know something, he admits, I don't know it. And he humbles himself, then for that duration he will be humbled, but for the rest of his life, he will be sitting in honor. But the person that doesn't know, and he wants to pretend like I know it, right? Then for the rest of his life, he'll have to remain in disgrace. Because people are going to pick out that this person doesn't know his stuff. He doesn't know tajweed. He doesn't know qiraat. He's just trying to imitate Qari Basit. You're a small child now. He heard the tune. So he got the tuning right. He said, no, I can read like Qari Basit. Now the one that is acquainted with the science, he said, you are making a kachumar of the science here. You don't know the science, don't imitate. You're spoiling the whole thing. So the same rule will apply to every science. It will apply to tajweed, it will apply to medicine, it will apply to tafsir. If you can only understand this, then it's difficult for you to go off. But if we fail to understand this, then in everything we will create a confusion. Hence, Imam Razi rahmatullah alayhi, he thinks to himself, you know, I have learned philosophy and have excelled in philosophy and in logic, but now I need to learn the science of tasawuf, right? And tasawuf requires me to implement. It doesn't just require to get a concept, right? Like in other sciences, you just get the concepts and they give you a degree. But in tasawuf, they're going to check you out. They're going to give you some concepts, and when they give you the concept, they're going to see how you implementing it, how you're applying it. And when you apply it correctly, they'll give you another lesson, right? Otherwise, it is not just about learning a concept. Learning the concept and then applying the concept. You learn the concept and then you apply the concept. So, Imam Razi rahmatullahi, he's gone to Najmuddin Kubra rahmatullahi, one of the greatest saints of that age. Very well known for his piety, his righteousness, his virtue. So he went up. And he expressed himself that this is what I've come for. Sheikh saw him and he put him into a routine that this is the routine you're going to follow. Whatever he needed to teach him, he taught him. And after 2 or 3 months, Imam Razi rahmatullah alayhi, he sees something is leaving him. He got worried, and in tasawuf, as the Sheikh puts you into a routine, then you report back, alright, this is what you have given me and this is the change I am finding in me. So what you have given me, and this is what's happening to me. So they give you something and you report back. They give you something and you report back. So as he reports to the Sheikh, you see this is what's happening, that as I'm engaging in the routine, and something is leaving me. So the Sheikh told him, Alhamdulillah, it's an excellent sign. Because all that nonsense that you have been studying, the philosophy that you have been studying, that's leaving you. The evil effects of that philosophy is leaving you. He says, Hazrat, please, please, make me maaf, I want to leave. Because it took me 25, 30 years to build on the science here, and I'm going to follow this routine and all is going to leave me. You know, what a big damage I'm going to cause to myself. So Najmuddin Kubra rahmatullah alayhi tried to convince him, see, when you're going to be leaving it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, you're going to be substituted with something that's going to be even greater. Because the philosophy and the science that you've got now, this philosophy and science is a theory, is not a fact. One is a theory, one is a fact. You know, fact is different and theory is different. I tell you, all right, you open up a soap factory and you will do very well, right? But it's a theory. It's a theory. You have to play around with the thing. You open it at the right time, right place, right product, right price. By the will of Allah Ta'ala, it can pick up. But it's not a guarantee that you will start off and it will work out for you. You may tell someone, all right, you know, start off samosas and savories and you'll become a wealthy person because so and so is doing samosas and savories and it worked out very well for him. It worked out well for him, but will it work out well for you? It's a guess, right? So it's not a fact, it's a theory. So a theory is something else and a fact is something else. A fact is like 1 + 1 = 2. That nobody can mutilate that, nobody can distort that, nobody can change that. But you ask him to do this type of a shop and he will progress, it's a guess, it may work out, inshallah. You ask him to become a doctor. But it's not a fact, it's not a certainty. One person came as a guest yesterday. So he says, I first went to the medical college and I learned medicine. A couple of years, whatever. But I got tired of it, I left it. Then I became a lawyer, I became a professional lawyer. 4 years and I practiced for 2 years. I left that also. Then I'm a businessman, now I'm very happy about the whole thing. So what he studied for and where he found his rosy, two different things, right? So you may study in a certain science, but that's not a guarantee that you will find your satisfaction there. It's not a guarantee that you will find your rosy there. Perhaps the rosy is somewhere else. So that's a theory. And the other thing is a fact. So Najmuddin Kubra Rahmatullah explained to him, see, you spend so much of your years, so much of your time, and what you spend your time in is a philosophy. It may happen, it may not happen. Right? And what I am giving you is a fact. It must happen. There is no two ways about it. So rather you go with a fact than going with a theory. But he just asked of Maaf, please, give me permission, let me leave now. Anyway, he left. Right? Sheikh is getting old and he needs some type of a support to make his wuzu. In those days, they didn't have taps like how we have taps. So the Sheikh is being supported as making wuzu. He's washing his hand, he's going on washing his hand. The attendant that is helping him making the wuzu, he's getting worried. Okay, bhai, one jug of water is not sufficient and the second jug of water, and he's going on washing his hands. And as he's washing his hands, then he says, keh do is khabees ko ke main bila daleel khuda ko manta hu. Say that wretched shaitan that I believe in Allah Ta'ala without any proof. Now what had happened was that Imam Razi was on his last breath, right? And in his last breath, shaitan is putting doubts, right? And because he says Imam Razi had learned philosophy, so in the light of the philosophy that he had learned and mastered, he was answering him. See, shaitan is putting this doubt, this is the answer. This is the doubt, this is the answer. This is the doubt, this is the answer. The Sheikh made out Imam Razi, his stock of answers is all getting depleted. You know, in the light of the philosophy that he has studied, you can see now that Imam Razi is at a different spot. He is 1,000 kilometers away. Here the Sheikh is making wuzu. And Allah Pak just opened it out, you know, like a video screen. It is happening at that point, at that distance, and the Sheikh has just been able to see what's going on that side. If science could do it, then why Do you feel it's impossible for Allah Ta'ala to make it happen? Science can do it. Over the Skype you can communicate. Can't you communicate 5,000, 10,000 kilometers, right? So if Allah Ta'ala made it possible for someone, so what's the wrong in that? Can you question Allah Ta'ala's integrity? Can you question His honor? Allah Ta'ala made it possible for him. So anyway, Imam Razi rahmatullah alayhi is on the throes of death. In the throes of death, Shaitan is putting these doubts and he's answering them. He's casting doubts and he's answering them. Until he reached a point that 99 doubts. Now the Shaykh could make out this person 99 doubts and he had 99 answers. And his stock of answers is already depleted. How is he going to answer? So he's worried now. What is he going to do? What is he going to do? Once Shaitan got hold of Imam Razi, says to that Imam Razi rahmatullah alayhi, is your iman stronger or the iman of this ordinary peasant farmer? This ordinary farmer, is his iman stronger or your iman stronger? So he says, obvious, my iman is stronger and better, of a better quality than his iman. Shaitan asks why? He says, mera iman to tahqiqi hai aur uska iman to taqleedi hai. My iman is based on research and his iman is based on what he got inherited from his father and grandfather. So the one that was inherited, that doesn't have a base, proper base, intellectual base. And the one that was researched has got an intellectual base. So obviously my iman is stronger than his iman. So Shaitan says to Imam Razi, Jao, bachcho ko behkao, go and bluff the children. So what do you mean? So let me prove it to you that this villager's, this farmer's iman is far, far, far superior than your iman. So right, let's see. So both of them, Imam Razi and Shaitan, approach the farmer. Shaitan is asking the farmer, kitne khuda hai? How many gods? Obviously one. So Shaitan asks, and if I prove it that there is more than one god, there are multiple gods then. So you see this pickaxe. If you just say that one time, one more time, you know, it will be this pickaxe and your whole skull will be in two pieces. This pickaxe, and you will see your skull split in two pieces. Clean, clean, clean. Both of them moved away quickly from there because in diatiyo ka koi thikana nahi. These farmers, you can't trust them. You don't know what they'll do just now. So they moved away straight away. So Shaitan says, you see this person's iman. Aisi baat karna chhirte hain, we just start them off with this type of topics and marne marne ki baate karte hain. They just want to come up in arms and they want to split off, they want to kill us. We don't stand a chance with these people here. You people, we can still debate, put you into a debate. We can engage you. We can put you into a dialogue. We'll continue dialogue, dialogue, dialogue. The dialogue will never come to an end. You come to an end, but the dialogue doesn't come to an end. You come to an end, but the debate doesn't come to an end. So you see whose iman is stronger. So in the meanwhile, Imam Razi rahmatullah is there, and one, two people are attending to him, and they hear Imam Razi saying, Kaji, without any proof, I believe that there is one Allah, and his soul just departs the body. Now they find out the time that he passed away, what was happening, you know how people say, or how did he die, what was the time, and did he say the kalima? People are curious to know these things here. They found exactly it was the same time. This person was making wuzu, and that person was on that end of the world, and he just meted up. He said the la ilaha illallah, and he said, I don't need any reasoning. Without any reasoning, and I believe in Allah, I declare the shahadat without any reasoning, and his soul just departed the world. So you get this shaitanic atharat, shaitanic effects, right? Inna alladhina attaqaw idha massahum ta'ifum min ash-shaytan tadhakkaru fa idahum mubsirun. When they are assailed, when they are attacked with any type of shaitanic thought, any wrong thought, distraction, wrong thought, right? Then tadhakkaru, they get into some remembrance. Tadhakkaru is a general remembrance, right? Tadhakkaru. إن الذين اتقوا إذا مسهم طائف من الشيطان تذكروا. These righteous people, what happens to them? That when they are attacked with any type of a stray thought, what do? They get into some type of remembrance. You know, these youngsters, when they come around 20, 21, 20, 19, 20, then all want to talk about marriage, right? Then what marriage is all about, they don't know. They don't know responsibility, they don't know anything. Partly it's their fault, and partly it's their parents' fault. Because the parents were overwhelmed with education. And they didn't realize that when the child comes to about 14, 15, and he's come to his adolescence, he understands that I've come to my adult age, right? And I need to do something about this. So the parents are disregarding this, as though he's still our beta, our child still, and he hasn't yet grown up, as though he's got no feelings. So the parents disregard that. So they need to understand that he's got these feelings. These feelings are very active in him, very, very active, they're moving. And they don't want to recognize this. And why they don't want to recognize it? Because now if they feel, you know, he doesn't have the responsibility, it's a kharcha, it's an expense, how do we do all these things, how do we reconcile all these facts? So conveniently they will find a plan to divert the whole attention. But you're diverting the attention, it is just treating the symptoms. It is not treating the thing, it is just some symptoms, you're just suppressing it. Or take on aspirin, it will just suppress the symptoms. But that thing is going to come again. That youngster, he's also wrong. And when he's at that age now, he can't find his satisfaction. When he can't find his satisfaction, he's misusing his hands. And when he feels at that time, when he's misusing his hands, he thinks at that time, okay, I'll misuse my hands, I'll get satisfaction, finish, I won't do it again. And before you know it, the third, fourth day, again, the same thoughts will begin to attack him. Again, he misuses his hands, right? Somehow or the other, now they don't only have to misuse their hands, misuse other gadgets, whatever. They'll misuse these things here and get that satisfaction. Now the parents don't want to accept this, they want to recognize this. And the child is not talking to them. So it is the child's problem and it is the parents' problems. Both problems. They don't want to recognize this and the child feels too embarrassed to go and speak to them. Right? He doesn't feel embarrassed to do this type of work, to spill out whatever he's spilling out, to exit whatever he's exiting out, he doesn't feel embarrassed. But to go and discuss it with his parents, that he feels embarrassed. See, selective embarrassment. The embarrassment and shame is selective. So one youngster came now. Now I could see, now I can't handle all this marriages thing. They need to go talk to their parents. So he came. So I asked him, what are you doing? No, I'm studying. Alright. What are you studying? I'm studying this. What happened now? You get married. I know the parents are not going to listen, right? But I need to appease him for that moment. I need to suppress the thing. Now, how am I to suppress it? So Allah put one thought in my mind. He said, no, this one girl that is interested in you. You were excited. Youngster, about 20, 21, you tell him some girl is interested. You see, I'm so handsome, you know. Look so nice, so attractive, so people are interested in me at least. Before that, he felt he was an alu. Now, someone said, no, some girl is interested in him. He felt very, very excited about the whole thing. He said, no, but must I tell you the features of the girl? He said, yeah. He's very dark in complexion, you know. Very short and dark in complexion. And you know, if there's the masjid here, right, and she comes from here, the smell that comes from the body will come into the whole masjid. Whole masjid will smell with her. You can make it out, you know. And she's coming, the sweat and the... But she's very obedient, you know, she's very obedient. But just her mouth smells, underarms smelling, stinking. It's terrible, you know. And from there you can get the smell coming right around the masjid. Mona, please, man. I don't want that. That is off my mind. Complete is off my mind. No more now. But so one injection was sufficient. So I had to create a story for this person here to suppress this thing here. But what I'm going to suppress this thing here is just a temporary measure. So the parents need to know that this is a problem. And the child needs to talk to his parents that this is a problem. Otherwise, you're getting adverse results you're getting. Because on the one side, we're giving them very good food, becoming strong. They're eating chicken and all that with a lot of hormones. So they're becoming adult before their time, right? When they're becoming adult before that time, now you say, no, suppress it. Just push it down, push it down. Coming up again, no, push it down. How long are they going to do it? They're going to exert all this thing. They can't go and discuss with the father and the parents, are we letting it, we're letting all the steam out in this manner. They can't go and discuss it with the parents. Parents will confront them, but they can't go and express it. Then when the child is about 25, getting him married now, and then he says, no, hey, everything is not working. It's not in working condition now. Because too much, I release too much now. It's not in working condition. What do I do? You see what happens? I'm talking to you of real, real stories where the youngsters come. That age, this is what happens. Parents don't want to do it. Obviously, I'm an outsider. I can't go and do anything. Right? Then they come of that age. Now, then you get another complication. One complication I'm showing you. Another complication you get of youngsters coming in this age, right? They say, no, because we didn't get it naturally, so we went to do unnatural things. However, Skype, whatever, we did unnatural things. I went to boys, went to gay, whatever. Now, the crave, the urge for a girl is totally dead. A girl walks naked also, you won't feel anything about it. Now, you see, he had to release that pressure in some way. Right? We were too naive, and we were too overwhelmed with this figure here. And we tried to release it in this way here. But that child did something of his own. You were doing your own. He did his own. So what was the outcome? You failed and he failed. Both failed. And he's got no feeling. Absolutely. They came right to my office. Some people came flying from Joburg. When I got absolutely no urge, no feeling. With kurta and whatever else. They came with. But I got no urge towards a woman. My feelings towards a man. You see that? But the complication that is brought about when we have this type of an attitude. So we're talking about shaitanic thoughts, you know, shaitan and how he misleads. Very, very complicated. Very complicated. Very confusing. Shaitan makes a long investment, you know. He obviously is an old dada. But he's an old dada, so he knows the whole, he has to make a projection for the year. Like the accountant, he has to make a projection, right, for your business. For his own business, he has to make a projection. Last year, this is what we did. And this year, what we are going to do, right? And where there is a niche market, you know, all these things here, right? Where we're going to get better offers, how we need to advertise it, how we need to go about doing it. So he's only in the business. When he's only in the business, he knows now that where I can cause the man to slip and how must I do it. So he's projecting for the future. Shaitan is projecting. When he's projecting, in his projection he understands, Ramzan, I can't do anything because I'll be chained and I'll be thrown away, right? I'm chained, I can't do anything now. But then I need my business to roll. Now what type of business must I do that whilst I'm chained, then to, the business is rolling. I'm chained that side, right? But that doesn't mean that I'm out of change. I'm chained that way, but my thrills are still ringing. It's going on. So he's looking at a projection, you see. And how must I plan it out? So he'll plan out several things to get you involved in some wrong, that whilst you're in the midst of Ramadan, but you're still in sin and guna. You're still in sin and guna. You are right in the laps of shaitan. Although shaitan is locked and chained, he's thrown away. But then, He got you stuck in guna. From now, he's starting 2-3 months in advance. He's starting to get you stuck up in some guna. When he stuck you into guna in Ramadan, and you're still in guna. He said, oh, you must get a loan, you know, and the loan will be interest. The interest loan. So, he's sitting pretty chained that side, but he knows that his business is carrying on, that every second is moving, and he's under divine wrath. Every second is moving, and he's under curse. There isn't a second without any curse. See how he's enjoying. He's sitting chained there, but he's enjoying what you're doing. He got you caught into a Skype. He got you caught into some type of porn, right? Now, you are addicted to it. When you're addicted to it, now Ramadan came, and you can't leave the thing out. Because you can't get your sleep without looking at these things. You got so addicted, now you can't sleep without this. He got you addicted into nonsensical conversations and talks. Ghibat and gossiping, lying and whatever else, right? He got you chained in that. He got you addicted in that. Ramadan came, you are in that addiction, so you can't leave the thing out. He got you addicted into nonsensical talk, vain, useless talk. Ramadan time, where the whole world is reading Quran Sharif after Quran Sharif. Now, at home, then you are listening to this radio, that radio, and you are appeasing your conscience, I'm listening to Islamic programs, right? Or if you're in the Haram Sharif, then you are snapping. Ramadan, and you are snapping away, right? Everybody else is being tawaf, Quran Sharif, they're crying. And your greater concern is, the background must be the Kaaba Sharif, it must be me and my wife, and someone is snapping us. And we'll keep it there for memory's sake, right? So, how he will involve you, engage you, how he will involve you, how he will engage you, how he will trap you in guna, he is an old dada, he is an old person, so he knows how to trap you and how to engage you. The Ramadan is going, he is already chained, but he has got you also chained in guna. He is chained from you and you chained in guna. You can't move that shackle, you can't move the chain. Shaitan also has a report, you know. You have a year-end financial, financial reports. So the bosses, the directors, they need to know what happened in the business for this last year, where we had fallouts, and what we should improve, our loose ends and our strong ends. All that they must inspect. If they inspect, inshallah, Allah will give them barakat. So shaitan also knows the principle. He knows the principle that I must listen to reports, understand, see things in perspective, understand where they're falling, and then guide them accordingly. So he takes a report, nearly every day he takes a report. The idea is to chain you into sin. And when he's chained you in advance, so he's chained, and you also chained. He's chained from coming to trouble you, but you already chained into a habit. When you chain into a habit, you can't break off that habit. Can't come off that habit. So he's taking a report. And he calls all his members. Like the Nabi, he also has to have supporters. He also has to have helpers, right? He needs a helping hand. Because the Nabi can't do the work himself. Kunu ansar Allah kama qala Isa ibn Maryam lil hawariyin. So he'll need helpers. Shaitan also knows he can't do it himself. And he's very weak. Inna kayda shaitani kana da'ifa. The hadith says that he's very, very weak. Don't recognize him and you will find his weakness. But the moment you recognize him, you will find him to be a strong person. Because you begin to identify with him. Someone was traveling on a camel perhaps and that thing slipped. So he said, ta'isa shaitan. The wretched shaitan, miserable shaitan, cursed shaitan, right? So Nabi Sam cautioned him by don't say this. Say Bismillah. Because when you say Ta'isa shaitan, as though you are attributing this accident to shaitan. And when shaitan will hear, you attributing the accident to him, then he will be bloating in pride. He'll be bloating in pride. He'll be bloated in pride. So see, I caused the slip. I'm so powerful. I'm such a powerful person. I'm such a great person that I caused the slip. So he'll be bloating in pride. And he'll bloat so much. He'll blow up so much. That he'll be like a mansion. He'll be like a mansion. But when you say Bismillah, the attribute, everything, good or bad, everything comes from Allah Ta'ala. Then he will just shrink up like a mosquito. Like a fly will shrink up. So when I read this hadith, that I thought, you know, shaitan looks like a balloon, you know. You can bloat up so big. Nothing but bloated up. So you look at it, so big. But when that thing shrinks, nothing. Absolutely nothing it is. So shaitan, in nakayda shaitani kana da'ifa. His tricks, his plans, his conspiracies are very weak. But provided your yaqeen and your trust is in Allah Ta'ala, then this is nothing. Your trust must be in Allah Ta'ala. Your yaqeen must be in Him. Your reliance must be in Him. And this is nothing. What is this? That's nothing. We do a lot of things, but do we have that reliance? Do we have that reliance in Allah Ta'ala? See, in Rosie, what is the 3 points that the hadith speaks about in the acquisition of Rosie? Strange enough, we'll send our children to schools, etc., or to someone else to teach him business. But what was the hadith teaching the child or teaching us? What are the important points in Rozi? Did we learn that? Did we take the time out to learn that what are the things that I must adhere to earn a halal and barakati Rozi? What must I do? So the hadith says, إِنَّ نَفْسًا لَن تَمُوتَ حَتَّى تَسْتَكْمِلَ رِزْقَهَا. That no soul can die until it's completed its Rozi. Its Rozi is not complete, it can't die. And it's so precise, your Rozi is so precise, the time that you're going to have it, the place that you're going to have it, the amount that you're going to have it, all that is already been confirmed. It's an itinerary that has been confirmed, no changes. This is what you're going to have, this is the place, this is the time, right? This is how you're going to have it. Every detail is in that itinerary, that this is how you're going to have it, right? So the hadith is telling you you're going to get it. And Rozi refers to everything that you're going to enjoy. Everything that's going to harm you, or everything that's going to enjoy, the last detail is already recorded. Inna nafsan lan tamuta hatta tastakmila rizqaha. But then what must you do? The hadith tells you 3 points. First, fattakullah. Fattakullah, right? That's the first point. And simple translation, take care of Allah Ta'ala. Any time you take care of Allah Ta'ala. Am I mixing it up? Am I messing it up with Allah Ta'ala or not? The relationship I have with Allah Ta'ala, am I messing it up? I'm opening up a business, or I'm a professional person, am I messing it up? I'm involved in interest. Or as the clientele comes to my office, right? Am I looking at her? Am I listening at music? And I've got the music blasting just to attract customers. What am I doing? At any given time, now I am thinking that this is the 3 points that Nabi Sallam mentioned. The world said whatever he needed to say about getting Rozi, but this is the plan of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Did I adhere? Did I conform to this plan? So the first is I must see that am I taking care of Allah Ta'ala? Take care of me. Don't forget me. Take care and I will take care of you. إِحْفَظِ اللَّهِ يَحْفَظْكَ. You take care of me, I will take care of you. What I ask you to do, are you doing it? Your tongue, your eyes, your ears, your intentions, your honesty, your consideration in business that you need to have. Are you taking care or not? So that's the first thing. Considerate, honest. Your eyes are honest, your ears are honest, your tongue is right. There's no flaw in this, there's no discrepancy, there's no inconsistency in all that. Everything is right. And with all that honesty, you're still very considerate. So now, that is the meaning of fattakullah. So take care of Allah Ta'ala. Right? The second point in this plan is, وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. Now this is a directive that is coming from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What is what our minds tell us? What is what the secular schools and universities tell us? And this is a plan by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself. So one is you take care of Allah Ta'ala. Number two, وَأَجْمِلُوا فِي الطَّلَبِ. Your effort to acquire that sustenance, there must be an effort. This is the plan of Allah Ta'ala, He wants you to make an effort. One is you have it, you don't have to just duplicate and just multiply the numbers. You got enough for yourself, for your children, etc. You got quite enough. So you don't have to just think of, keep getting obsessed how to multiply and multiply and multiply. That's not your work, right? You made enough now, alhamdulillah, it's enough for your lifetime, for your children, etc. Emergencies, you got enough. Now see how you want to sustain yourself, right? So if you don't have it, then work, right? So leaving out work is also wrong. Leaving out the effort for sustenance is wrong. And over-engaging also is wrong. Right? So what type of an attitude, what type of an approach? Ajmilu, brief. A brief, moderate effort you make. You make, but a moderate and brief effort. Because a Muslim's life, a Muslim's mind, how must it work? It must work like this. إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرِ السَّبَعِ وَإِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرِ الْمَسَىٰ. The morning, don't wait for the night. And by the night, don't worry for the morning. In other words, you live for the day. Alhamdulillah, I broke even today. Everything is alright today. Tomorrow we'll see again. But if you got your mind, what's going to happen next month? And the business is going to fall, going to collapse. What's going to happen? The rand is dropping and the dollar is coming up. But Allah didn't ask you to worry about 1 month. Did He ask you? even his own greatest obligation, he didn't ask you to read Isha Namaz Asar time. Asar time only Asar Namaz I'm asking for. I didn't ask you for Maghrib Namaz, I didn't ask you for my obligation. Then you're asking me things for 20 years, 100 years. I'm asking you obligations only for 1 hour. That one hour obligation I'm asking you. I don't even ask you for the obligation above this 1 hour. And you are asking me for 100 years, 50 years. Fattakullah. So second, you just be brief, moderate in your approach to hold rosy, etc. You just have a moderate and a brief effort. Fattakullah wa ajmilu. And the third point in this plan is, watawakkalu alayhi. And trust in Allah Ta'ala. When you say watawakkalu, tawakkul comes from the word wikalat, right? And wikalat, we say wakil. What do you mean by wakil? That you must make Allah Ta'ala, fattakhidhu wakila, that you must make Allah Ta'ala your wakil. What do you mean by wakil? In other words, you assign your affair to Allah Ta'ala. You assign your affair to Allah Ta'ala, right? Like, for example, now, what an aqiqah, right? So I say, you know, leave it to Junaid, he will do it. Right? He'll get the right animal, he will slice the thing, and he will cut the thing, and he will bring the meat to you. So you say, someone asked, but you know, I'll get it. Say, leave it to him. Leave it to him. You left it in good hands. So when you said to him that you left it in good hands, how comfortable doesn't he feel? Won't he feel very comfortable? Say, you must get it. If you ask him, you will get it on time. Everything will be delivered, inshallah. Right? So what, if you phone Mulana and say, leave it to me. You have left it in good hands and leave it to me. So don't you feel comfortable? Don't you feel relaxed? Don't you feel the ease of the mind? Right? Now the question is, Allah Pak is saying, leave it to me. So no, Allah Pak, I doubt still. I still have to open the shop here at that petrol port and petrol fort. I have to open all these things here. Then only you'll give me. That man told you, no, leave it to him. You left it in very good hands. Right? He's a makhluk. What he can do? He's small. He's insignificant. He doesn't have unlimited powers. But you felt so relaxed when you said, you left it in good hands. Man will deliver. He will supply it. He will give it to you in time. You felt so relaxed and so comfortable. Go to Mr. Price. You'll get the commodity. Fruit of the kind, you'll get it. Go to Woolworths. You'll get this fruit and you'll get it right like how you want it. You got so much of reliance. But Allah Pak is asking you, فَاتَّخِذُ وَكِيلًا رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ فَاتَّخِذُ وَكِيلًا. I'm not just the Rabb of the East, not just of the West. I'm Rabb of the East and the West. And not just one small shop, Mr. Price or Mr. ShopRite or whatever, right? I'm the Rabb, I control everything. Everything I'm controlled is my control. So can't you assign your affairs to me? Leave it to me, I will do it for you. So can't you let that sink in your minds? Okay, leave it to Allah Pak, He will make it happen. Whether it is Rosie, whether it is Jory, whether it is sustenance, whether it is a girl that you want to get married to, can't you leave your affair? But with that frame of mind, Allah Pak will make it work. Not doubting in Allah Ta'ala. Not doubting in Allah Ta'ala. You get married to a girl and you doubt her integrity. Hey, I don't know if she's with me or she's someone else. How will she feel? If she discovers, you know, that I gave my everything to this man here and he doubts my integrity, how will she feel? She feels so miserable about it. And how will Allah Pak feel? Okay, I am telling him, leave it to me, you left it in good hands, and he doesn't have the trust in me. So how will Allah take it? See? So this is the 3-point plan in Rosie. Are we talking of Shaitan, and he is taking a report from the smaller Shaitans. Okay, what was your doings for the day? Give me a report. So one would say, no, I made the person speak like, alright, it's good what you've done, but not a train smash now, it's a small fry. The other one, well, that person, he was coming to namaz, and I just caused him to get delayed. So he missed 2-3 rakats. Alright, it's good, but not a train smash. And the third one, what did you do? No. When he was approaching home, right, when he just stepped into the home, then I spurred up the mind of the wife against the husband. Yeah, you didn't get the bread. What are we going to eat? We're living in fresh air. Now, on the one side, he spurs up the mind of the wife. Then he spurs up the mind of the husband. Husband says, yeah, I just stepped into this house. I'm coming into a house, or I'm coming into a prison here. I'm coming into a macheni. What am I coming into? Is it a fish market or is it a house? So Shaitan is spurring up the husband. Then she also wants to keep her mouth shut. See? Yeah, there's no peace in this house here. Basic things are not here. How do you expect us to live? Why did you get married to? You should get married to someone else. See, yeah, I don't know why I made a mistake of my life. I got stuck up with you now. I can't get out of this now. I'm stuck up. Say, just divorce me. Now in the fruit of that anger, he issued 1, 2, 3, finished. Kalas. See how shaitan is working on this end, he's working on that end. That man don't want to die. And we don't want to accept that he's not dead, he's still alive. Right? We don't want to accept that. Now, when this person talks about this type of a separation, a division, a separation, disunity, shaitan says, whether it's in a couple, whether it's in a family, whether it's whatever, but he likes this. He takes a great interest in this. And shaitan gives him a hug. You are fit to be my vice chairman. Because he's created a factory of sins. How you say that he's created a factory of sins for these people? Now, she's going to go at her home. He's going to be in his house. He's going to have his circle. She's going to have her circle. And then in her circle, she'll see, ah, this man was like this, and like this, and like this. Many of it will be ghibat, right? Much of it will be ghibat. Then much of it will be false allegation, because she just leaves just plain facts. It won't sound very interesting. She has to spice that thing up. So she can only spice it up with false allegations. Now, one is ghibat. The whole factory of ghibat started off. She's going to speak to her circle will speak to their friends. So you see the factory that is opened up. False allegations, right? So she's opened up a factory of false allegation. He's done the same on that side, right? Then there's going to be lies and exaggeration on this side, on that side, right? Then it doesn't end up there. He's also got emotions and she got also emotions. Both have got emotions. And they can't vent the emotion and the feeling in the halal way. Now, how are they expected to vent their feelings in haram? He's going to be pawning or haraming. She's going to be doing the same. You can't say that only he's got feeling and she doesn't have feelings. And only she has feelings and he doesn't have feelings. Both have feelings. So they can't do the things in the halal way. Now, how are they going to do it? Haram way. So do you see the factory of gunas that have started off? Then the hadith says that there's 2 days in the week. Mondays and Thursday, Allah Pak announces maaf, forgiveness for all Muslims. Everybody that believes in Allah Ta'ala and his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, everybody is forgiven. But the 2 people that have some lingering malice in their hearts, they're not talking with each other. They have the lingering malice. Allah Pak says, leave them aside. Apart from these 2 people, maaf for everybody. Man got left out everywhere. Everywhere is opened up a factory of gunas. You know, it's a tin of worms. Tin of gunas is opened up. Unending, it is ending. It's carrying on. Continuous. There must be some reason why shaitan hugs the person and tells him, you are supposed to be my deputy. You are supposed to be my vice-gerent. The effect of that guna is so great, so much. It's carrying on, continuous. That is why the Quran Sharif says, "Kull ibadi yaqulu allati ahsan." It's all its wrongs. And you see, speaking about this just before Ramadan, the neglect, how we neglect the tongue, abuse of the tongue, and the long-reaching effects. Ramadan coming into Ramadan, and the problem is carrying on. Everybody's du'as are getting accepted, namaz is getting accepted, tawaf and umrah is getting accepted, and these people are fighting. So Allah Pak says, leave them aside, everybody else announce forgiveness. Are you making your rozas getting rejected? Du'as are getting rejected, tawaf is getting rejected. But where he started off from, you see, the tongue, and how he created that discord, and what is the result? Allah Pak tawfiq.